Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And while the score says 41-28 New England Patriots over the Chargers, it was not nearly that close. To break down the game and look forward towards next week's matchup, we bring in old friend Tara Sullivan, no longer with the Record. She is a columnist with the Boston Globe at the game today. Hey, Tara, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's nice to hear your voice.
So
let's start with after the game for a moment, just because I was a little taken aback, thought it was interesting, is Tom Brady, hadn't said anything in advance, but suddenly after the game, Brady makes the comment that everyone thinks we suck. So was Brady bothered coming into this game? Here they are, they get the bye week, they're the number two seed, all of that. Is he actually truly bothered somehow, or is this just him playing the disrespect card as motivation?
Bothered is I don't know if that's the right word for it, and I know what you're getting at. I don't know that it bothers him as much as sort of, like you've also said, sort of motivates him in a strange way, or in some ways even amuses him. Like, I thought it was a great little moment because it just peels the curtain back ever so slightly. You know, I mean, Brady just does not, I've been here now for a year, but had covered him in other games before that. He just doesn't peel it back very often, right? I mean, he really doesn't let you into what he's truly thinking, at least in his own mind about himself, very often. He'll talk about teammates or other things, you know, like that. But I just thought it was this great little moment of, hell yeah, we hear everything people are saying. You know, I mean, we act like we don't. And what the Patriots are good at is, you know, they don't let that stuff become a distraction. Like, it doesn't take away from kind of the job at hand, and that's when it hurts you, and that's why when teams get too caught up in that stuff, it ends up having an effect on their preparation. The Patriots don't let that happen, but, you know, to believe for a minute that they don't hear it, I think Brady proved otherwise, even in that one little comment after the game. They hear it.
And before, again, we dive into a bunch of the domination and the stats on a human level, obviously, you covered all kinds of sports stories here in our area for years, and there's an interesting local story up there, which is the McCourty twins, formerly of Rutgers, now playing together. And anything interesting, fun, touching, whatever it is, in the post-game locker room there with those two and being able to share it, you know, brother to brother, the playoff win?
Well, the wonderment just on Jason's face is truly like you couldn't have a soul and not enjoy it. You know, I mean, he's been in the league a year longer. This is the first time he's ever been in the playoffs.
How many years was this? Ninth year in the league?
This is 10.
10
for Jason, 9 for Devin.
Yep.
And now think about Devin.
Nine
AFC East championships.
Yeah.
Devin has never missed, and it's a remarkable stretch, obviously, and now Jason joining him this year. And now the real emotional part of it, you honestly didn't see it as much today as you did after they finally clinched and they knew they were going to the playoffs together. I talked to their mom for a column one week, and just, you know, the level of emotion and just
going to the playoffs last year, he was 0-16 with the Browns.
Yes, and just him, like, even from a mom's perspective, like hearing her say just how happy she was for Jason, and really what a great story he's been this season. Quite honestly, he himself admitted to doubts about making the roster, you know, in spring, like he just didn't know if there'd be a spot. He only got like 5 snaps in the season opener, like, is this really even going to work? And started a corner today, you know, is like one of their integral parts of their defense by the end of the season. So such a great story. Anybody who reads my stuff knows they are among my favorites. The Rutgers connection aside, you couldn't not like the two of them. They're just remarkable young men, and it is one of my favorite parts of this Patriots run is seeing them do it together. They're hilarious. They are hilarious in person. Like, just there's some, you know, telling stories about Belichick, you know, yelling at them for wearing, you couldn't even not wear the same sleeves, you know, like they do everything to confuse them. And they've had a great impact on the team this year. Together, they have.
Talking to Tara Sullivan from the Globe about the Patriots-Chargers game. So was there reaction from either team to the opening drive or reaction in the press box today? you know, when the Patriots go 14 plays, 83 mm-hmm. yards, hold the ball for over seven minutes, and Bill Belichick to win the coin toss and decide to go on offense, which is rare for him, did it feel like the game was over after that opening drive?
Well, it felt like a statement for sure, but then you did have, you know, one quick defensive breakdown to tie the game, and it was a quick strike, and so it was the combination, if you ask me, of the first four possessions. The Patriots scored touchdowns on all four. As you said, definitely notable that they took the ball and went on offense right away. There was no doubt they wanted to announce that presence with authority, to quote my favorite sports movie. They wanted to, you know, get out there right in front. I thought fascinating that they mixed it up so well, like took advantage of, I thought, some bad defensive decisions by L.A., picked apart the zone, and then by the third drive, they were running it down their throats, or the fourth drive, I think the one that made it 28. They just were so in sync on offense, and you're right, they announced it from, like, the first snap, the length of that drive, the variation on it. Yeah, I think the Chargers knew they were in for a long day after that first drive.
When you say bad decisions by the Chargers and they didn't seem to make adjustments for you know those decisions, were you in the post game in the presser asking or hearing about Chargers and decision not to to stay in zone and not to pressure Brady more?
I didn't go over to their side. I mean, I went, but you could just tell listening to the Patriots side, like, they almost couldn't wait for that opportunity. Like, I think that they were even pleasantly surprised about staying with so many defensive backs, staying in a zone, not even disguising the zones. Like, I don't know. It was strange at the beginning, and the lack of adjustments I thought was a little surprising. It was almost like, well, you know, this was last week's game plan. It worked. We're going to do it again. And listen, I don't know the Chargers personnel as well if there were issues, if this is, maybe they felt this was all they had and the best they could do with the personnel they had. But the lack of switching it up even within the zone, or, you know, maybe giving man-to-man a try a little bit more, it obviously didn't work because the Patriots picked it apart.
Who gets your game ball maybe most significant to offensive success? And I know it's hard, but if I gave you
Oh, my God, I'm going Gronkowski. I'm going Gronk.
Oh,
I'm telling
okay.
you, that's who I wrote off the game. And I know maybe because I wrote it and I was I get it. Michelle had the, you
yep.
know, had
I was going to give
touchdowns.
You Sony Michelle, and I was going to give you Edelman. I was
I
even going to give
Edelman.
You James White, 15 catches.
Fair enough, but Gronkowski was
the blocking.
Listen, he only had one catch, but he was a beast. I'm not kidding. Like, so in the aftermath, if people want to read my stuff tomorrow, I called Mark Bavaro because I was so impressed with what Gronkowski did, and like that's who it reminded me of, and he was great. I mean, he just thinks the world of Gronk, and in
what,
particular,
so what did
like,
Mark,
as,
so what did, and well, for those fans who maybe are a little younger, not as aware of it, so former Giants great tight end Mark Bavaro, who and he was that catch actually was Bavaro-esque as guys
yes.
were falling off of him anyway.
Well,
but, so what did Bavaro
always,
say?
Yeah, so Bavaro, for your listeners too, like, is always brought up in New England. He's a Massachusetts native, and he played for Belichick when Belichick was the defensive coordinator
right.
with the Giants, and Belichick just loves Bavaro, like, still talks about him in such, you know, revered tones and everything. So, yeah, Bavaro lives back up here. And he said he doesn't even, like, watch a ton of football anymore, but he was checking in on the game. And the play that so stuck out was the Burkhead touchdown. So mm-hmm. I think that was the fourth of the four. And that, like, the entire, he said, like, that entire side of the offensive line just sort of, like, laid the, you know, pushed the defense back and laid the path for him to get to the end zone. And Gronk was right out in the front of that.
Yep.
And two plays prior was the Michelle 40-yard run that set it up. Gronk had two downfield blocks on the same run.
Yep.
I was so impressed. Bavaro, it just made me laugh because Bavaro at one point, like, said, oh, it's so fun to watch him, like, in the secondary when he's dragging guys. And I'm thinking, and he called him, like, he's like a pygmy. He's like a giant among pygmies. And I thought, you could be describing yourself. I mean, for any of us who grew up in the 80s or not, like, that's what we were used to seeing. But, as a columnist, I was just interested in getting his perspective. I thought Gronk, listen, that could very well have been his last game at Gillette. We don't know what's going to happen, whether he chooses, you know, to retire or the injuries or whatever.
What's your sense? Yes or no?
I think he's done. I mean, I think he's done because I just think the physical toll, it's nothing to do with his love for the game. I think the guy would love to keep playing forever. But he also is a very smart businessman that people don't often give him credit for because of the whole kind of lunkhead persona.
Mm-hmm.
He has a ton of stuff that goes on off the field. He's set for life. You know, I just, the physical toll this year and the back injuries and things like, you know, I would not be at all surprised. He never wants to play for anybody else. We know that from, you know, when he nixed the trade to Detroit and, you know, Tom Brady's my quarterback. So, I would be stunned if he played beyond this year. You know, Brady, I see really trying to play that couple more. Gronk, I would be surprised. And my point was just, if this was the last one, it was a hell of a way to go out, because it was everything about Gronk to me that you love. Put your hand in the dirt, do what's best for the team, and be great at it. Get your one chance over the middle and drag defenders with you. You know, I just thought it was such a vintage Gronk game. I would pick him first.
All right. As you look ahead to next week, the Belichick and Brady, obviously it seems like it takes something almost superhuman to beat them in the playoffs, but a lot of that success, certainly road to the playoffs, has come at home. On the road against the Chiefs, you know, what do you take away from this? Is the rematch? What do you take away from round one? What kind of adjustments do you expect from Belichick and company round two?
Yeah, that's a great question, because round one was such a toe for toe heavyweight, you know, in the air battle, and really that you came away being impressed so equally by Mahomes for hanging in there and just not getting the last possession, but again giving Brady that credit. Now some things have changed. You know, the fact that I think the Patriots are better in many ways, but they don't have the same downfield threat. I mean, Josh Gordon, you know, you really do miss that, I think, and that's liable to come up more in the next game. I think, you know, he's got to look to people beyond Edelman if he's going to reach those heights again when they go out there. The road stuff, I mean, I think they're capable of it. They did do it in Chicago. They won at Minnesota. Like, I don't think they're, you know, scared of playing on the road, but it's impossible to ignore the statistics this year. I mean, they laid some clunkers, man. But, I mean, I think we're in for another really fun, high-flying, close game. You know, Mahomes, there's a reason that kid is, you know, the one everybody's talking about. He's so poised. I can't imagine the moment's going to be too big for him either. So, I think we're in for a great one.
All right. Tara Sullivan, always, always appreciate the time. We look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Take care.